Hi, this is Paul Jindrasiak with Sunday Morning Town Square, and I'm in the studio with singer, songwriter, musician Drew Nelson. Goldmine Magazine has named Drew one of the top five modern folk artists to watch. How you doing today, Drew?
Wonderful. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, doing fantastic, and congratulations on signing with Red House Records.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
So, in this day and age, it seems a lot of folks are going in the direction of self-distribution. You got social media out there, but what are the great benefits of having a label behind you?
Well, for a guy like me, you know, I've been doing this on my own. I've been doing the self-promotion thing for almost 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of the big proponents of all the DIY stuff, the do-it-yourself stuff, seems to be artists who already were on major labels that have a great fan base that now drop back on that fan base, and they can afford to do things themselves. I think
sure.
It's a different story when you're trying to be the salmon swimming upstream.
Right.
So for a guy like me to sign with Red House, I mean, on a real practical level, when Nicole, my wife and I, we put out the Dusty Road to Beulah record, Beulah Land, a few years ago with Waterbug, which is an artist collective out of Chicago. We did maybe 500 promo copies to radio.
Sure.
Red House did 1,500.
Okay.
Right
okay.
off the bat. Bang. The access to media like No Depression and Rolling Stone and New York Times, I don't have access to that kind of media, but the label does.
Sure.
And then the other thing is one of the amazing things about living right now is that the technology exists that everybody can make a record.
Right.
One of the really terrible things about living right now is the technology exists that everyone can make a record.
Right, right.
Like maybe there are people making records that probably shouldn't be making records.
Right, right.
And there are, as a result, there are just tons and tons and tons of independent artists.
Sure.
So if you're a DJ and you get over 100 to 150 to 300 albums a week,
mm-hmm.
how do you filter through them? How do you get
right.
through? Who pokes to the surface?
Right, right.
So with having a label like Red House, which is a Grammy award-winning label with artists, I mean, amazing artists, Greg Brown, Eliza Gilkinson, John Gorka,
mm-hmm.
you know, the list goes on and on. At least with that Red House stamp on there, the people go, oh, well, I know that they put out great music.
And right,
so that,
right.
The filter kind of happens there, and in this business, the most you can hope for is to get listened to.
Right.
And then maybe if that kind of CD gets to the top of the pile because of Red House, that really helps.
Right, yeah, but you're exactly right. Everybody can get into everything these days, and
sure.
it's not just music. I mean, you know, people are bloggers, people are, you know, into photography, videography,
right.
so it does get often difficult to raise to the top. So, yeah, if you're able to have a label behind you, I think that makes a lot of sense from that angle.
Sure, and it's still an independent label. I mean, we're
sure.
not talking Columbia or
sure.
Sony
sure.
or, you know, like a big evil empire. There's like 10 people that work there, you know,
right,
in
right.
St. Paul, Minnesota. So.
Sure, sure. How did the deal come apart?
How did it go? Well, I hope it didn't come apart
well,
yet.
How did it come to be?
It was kind of a long, like everything in this music business that I've learned so far, it's all relationships.
Okay.
And we met, the first time I met with the president was at a Folk Alliance conference down south of Kalamazoo a few years ago, probably 5 or 6 years ago.
Sure.
And we just kind of became friends, and they kept watching my career, and I obviously kept bugging them. And so it just took about 4 or 5 years and the right product to happen. And
sure.
And they just fell in love with the record, the new record, Tilt-A-Whirl. We recorded it here in Grand Rapids with all Michigan musicians, and I would feed them little MP3s as we got going.
Okay.
You know, and they just fell in love with it. And it's interesting because this record's not a folk record. This is a rock and roll record.
Right.
It's really kind of more Steve Earle, more
sure.
James McMurtry kind of thing. And I think that's interesting that's the one that the folk label really, really dug.
Well, what made you decide to go in that direction?
That's who I am. You
sure.
know? I mean, as an artist, gosh, you got to keep changing and got to keep moving forward and got to. And at my first record way back in 1999
mm-hmm.
Was more of a rock record. I mean, I
right.
was on the GRD compilation disc
sure.
and was doing all that kind of
sure.
stuff. And then I kind of took a foray out into.
Yeah, because you were originally, you know, in the rock world, and
right.
then you went to folk, and then you're kind of going back in that direction.
Yeah, kind of that. I love that Americana genre. It's just right in that little mix between country and folk and rock, and you can do a lot there.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, your lyrics paint, in my opinion, very amazing visuals. Makes you feel like you're part of the story that you're telling with the song. And I've always enjoyed artists like Bob Seger, Bruce Springsteen. Where did you learn to hone your craft with writing like that, to paint a picture like that?
Well, that's been a real arc, too, a learning process. Like that first record, the rock stuff, was a real ethereal, kind of real emotional. You know, I'd been through a bad divorce, and it was all about me. And then sooner or later, as a writer, you figure out that nobody really cares about you.
Well, but even if it is all about you, I mean, people identify with some of those.
It's the emoting thing, though. You know what I mean? Like, that gets really old really fast.
Okay.
But if you can... What people really care about is, if, like you said, if they can put themselves in the song.
Right.
If they can go, wow, I feel that way.
Right.
You know? And so learning to speak from a character standpoint, I just, you know, feel like I can say things maybe through a character that I can't really say myself.
Right.
And so that's kind of where it started. But I think the Kerrville Folk Festival down in Texas was the real first catalyst. I got, I won a scholarship to their songwriting school probably 10 years ago. And that there was all these Nashville guys down there, and it ruined me. I couldn't write a song for a whole year afterwards.
Really?
Yeah, just all these rules and all these, you know, and bridges and song forms and all this stuff that I knew nothing about that I was just already doing.
Okay.
Because I listened to music my whole life.
Right.
So after that, but that's when the first real character stuff really started to kind of emerge, and I started getting interested in that because I'd listened to these guys and their stories, and
so,
like, man, that's what I want to do. I want to tell stories.
But what was it about when you went down there that kind of gave you, like, a block not being able to write at that point, you were saying?
I think it was just when you're sitting in your bedroom, you know, and you're just going, you know, and writing songs,
right.
That's one thing. And then the minute that you all of a sudden go, I want to take this a little bit deeper level, and you start taking apart songs and start looking at song structure and
right.
about rules and about what is pop music and what does a bridge serve and what is an ABA format. And it's just like all this information all at once.
Did it become too overwhelming?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, as a young writer, I was like, what in the world are these? I thought you just scribble down some words on a page, you know?
Right.
But it was great in the long run.